Hi, friends. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast, where we help women on their journey of knowing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Our hope is that we can help you tell a more beautiful story and grow in your knowledge of the one who wrote it.
Hey, Olive.
Hi, Kylie.
Welcome back. Episode 2.
Episode 2. Guys, we made it past episode 1.
We did it. We're over the scary first episode hump. So
I'm still scared, but
I'm still scared too. But it's okay.
Yeah.
We're going to get into the fun stuff now.
Yeah.
So like we said in our last episode, this season we're focusing on beauty, the theology of beauty, the beauty of the Lord. Mm-hmm. All this is kind of based off of our new devotional that came out, Behold His Beauty. So we did a lot of reading and praying and thinking mm-hmm. on this stuff, and this is kind of like the overflow of that, which is exciting. So let me just start by asking you, like, why is beauty important? Why are we talking about it? What is it?
Yeah. What is beauty is such a great question, because it's like abstract but also self-evident.
Yeah.
I think that I talked about it a little bit before in episode 1, so you're kind of hearing a little bit of a repeat if you came from episode 1, but, you know, the West has used the metric of what is good, what is beautiful, what is true, to kind of measure ideas, stories, policies, trying to pursue what is good, true, and beautiful. And I think beauty is maybe more important now than it ever has been.
Yeah.
Because in sort of like our postmodern, relativist, hyper-individualistic society, you can argue what is good and even what is true all you want.
Right.
Like, now reality, people are having different experiences of reality, and so people can't even agree on, like, what reality is, much less what is good. And so, but I think that beauty sort of has a way of sneaking behind our defenses.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, inerrant.
It's inerrant. It's self-evident.
Yeah. And like, we were created to know it.
Yeah.
You know, I think without describing it, people just feel that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you just look at something and you know, like, if there were two things, like, you would know which one is beautiful. And, like, mm-hmm. we can't necessarily, like, say why. We just, mm-hmm. like, know.
It's something that not only can we see visually, but it's something that we feel. Mm-hmm. And once we hear something that is beautiful, it's something that we can know is beautiful. So as a way of sneaking behind our defenses and being self-evident. But not only is beauty sort of like something that's, you know, describing a set of visually appealing qualities, but it's a force.
Right.
Like, people for hundreds of years, the Romantics, like, so many different great thinkers, writers, you know, artists, like, their entire lives are around creating beauty.
Right.
And I think that beauty is a force that compels us to the very heart of our Father. But on, like, on the other side of it, like, ugliness, the lack of beauty, is also a force. Mm. Like, we're compelled by beauty, but we're repulsed by ugliness. Mm. And so I think that, you know, beauty is the very force of our sanctification, because we're compelled towards God, and a movement towards God is a movement towards beauty.
Mm.
So, like, His beauty captures our heart, draws us towards Him. And once He gives us the humility to see our sin, we're repulsed by it. We see, like, the ugliness and the depravity of our sin. And so, like, beauty is the force of our sanctification, because we're repulsed by our ugliness, but we're drawn to the Lord by His beauty.
Mm.
And so I think that it's such a wonderful thing to contemplate, and also to use as a force in your own study. Because I think that when we're studying the Bible or studying theology or studying doctrine, it's so easy to keep it at a thought level without letting it work its way into your heart and into your body. And so by using beauty as a lens to view doctrine and to view theology, it comes alive in a new and a fresh way.
Yeah, so true. I mean, I was just thinking when you were just talking about beauty compelling us towards the Lord, and then, like, you know, the repulsion of something ugly. What do you think is going on when we flip those?
When we're drawn to ugly things.
Mm-hmm. And, like, repulsed. Maybe not repulsed, but, like, maybe not being drawn toward the Lord. Like, what do you think's going on when, like, we find ourselves with that flipped? Because I feel like that's something, like, there's going to be a season when it happens, right? Whether it's like one or other or both, where it's like, you know, I just like the Lord seems not beautiful to me right now. Or maybe it's like this sin just seems too good.
Yeah. Like that's the story of humanity. If we want to take it back to Genesis and talk about the fall, like Eve was compelled to something that she was explicitly told was not for her.
Yeah, something and beautiful.
Something beautiful. And the way that the enemy tempted her was that she saw with her eyes that it was fit to eat, that it was beautiful. And the enemy made it look desirable. Yeah. And that's what he does, is he corrupts beauty and he tries to make something that is ugly, something that is not necessarily that the fruit was ugly, but something that was out of bounds for humanity, something that was not... We were not made to know good and evil.
Right.
It was Eve's desire to be like God that made her compelled to eat of the fruit. And so the enemy took something that was out of bounds for humans and made it seem desirable and beautiful. And that's what he still does today. Like there's things that are out of bounds, that are unwise, that are not meant for humans even today, that the enemy will make look desirable and make look beautiful, but it never actually is, because it's not truly beautiful, because the only thing that can actually fulfill the beauty void in your soul is the Lord. And so every, you know, kind of pretty thing that we're tempted by is just a counterfeit. It's false. It's empty. It's
not as good.
It's not going to fulfill us the way that the truly beautiful one, Jesus, will.
That's good. It makes me think of this C.S. Lewis quote. I just love C.S. Lewis. So like all the quotes that I know are from him, basically. But he just says, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased."
Wow.
I just like...
Oh, it's so true.
He just gets right at it, you know? Yeah. Like, that's just... That's it, you know? Like, beauty is offered to us, and we just, like, don't even recognize all the time that it's beautiful, because this fake beautiful thing over here, just, like, in the moment or...
A momentary pleasure.
It just seems better.
Yeah.
Or easier, even.
Or easier, for sure. I think that Matt Chandler in a talk phrased it as, like, we get distracted by mediocre, lesser loves. Like, things that are not necessarily even bad, but they're just lesser. They're not as beautiful as what could be. And so I think that the process of maturing in your faith is asking the Lord, like, Lord, open my eyes to see what is truly ugly and depraved. Like, don't let me see something that is wrong or out of bounds as beautiful. Like, let me hate my sin. Help me be repulsed by my sin, and like, draw me to your beauty. Show me what true beauty is. Like, give me new eyes to see what is truly beautiful and worth pursuing. And so I think that that's something that comes with maturity. And I think in the beginning, salvation, it looks like, you know, kind of some of the more obvious sins and the more obvious things that, like, okay, you shouldn't get drunk at every party, or like, you shouldn't, you know, be looking at pornography, or you shouldn't be doing some things that are like very obviously ugly behaviors and destructive behaviors. But as you kind of fight those sins and grow in your process of sanctification, then these kind of sneakier sins that are less easy to detect as ugly, like pride, you know,
or like pride,
pursuing, you know, good things, like pursuing writing or worship or anything, but like with the desire to elevate yourself instead of to worship the Lord. Like, that's just an example, but like, that is something that seems beautiful, but actually is ugly. And so like, the process of sanctification, the process of growing in your faith is like asking the Lord, like, reveal to me the things that are ugly that I still do, and help me be repulsed by that. Help me be disgusted by that, because that is actually a mercy. Like, conviction is such a mercy of salvation. And when we ignore conviction, then we're ignoring salvation. Like, we're ignoring the mercy that God is giving us to be drawn closer to Him and to hate our sin.
That's so good. And, you know, I think, too, it's easy when we have this kind of conversation of, like, what is godly, what isn't, like, we can fall into this temptation to, like, of judgment of things that are secular, I guess, for, like, lack of a better term. But I just kind of want to share, like, the most recent example of like what you just talked about in my life is the book Little Women.
Oh, yes.
And I just read it for the first time, which makes me feel so stupid. Like, I cannot believe I didn't, but it came at the perfect time. Mm-hmm. It truly did. I was floored by this book. And I just want to share this example because it's like, the Lord can use writing like that. And also, I didn't realize how Christian that book was.
So Christian.
So, like, let me just start by saying that, you know?
Also, like, the beauty of childhood and protecting the innocence.
It's so good. But something that I just love about Little Women is Marmee, throughout the story, is teaching her daughters through words, but also through, like, letting them make their own mistakes and choices, the beauty of, like, good work and the beauty of like family and love over money and good work instead of like idleness. Like I was just so taken aback by like, man, like what have I been doing? Like, why do I look at my life this way? Like my life is so beautiful just with like the simple gifts the Lord has given me. And like, you know, Ecclesiastes talks about that so much, but like just taking, you know, small gifts for granted, small beautiful gifts, but it just made me think of like, you know, in especially in our society now, like there are so many beautiful things, but we just don't have the eyes to see them, like you're saying. So like praying, like Lord, like the things that I think are ugly, maybe my 9 to 5, so beautiful, you know,
so
like things like that, not just like help me to see the ugly things rightly, but like help me to see the beautiful things rightly as well. And like that is just, I mean, namely that's gratitude, right? But like I was just floored by that. And like the pursuit of that is hard. It's hard. But I just think like how much more beautiful would our lives be if we were like people who were quick to see the beauty of the small things. And I'm going to quote C.S. Lewis again. I'm so sorry, guys. But it won't be the first time. It won't be the last. But in Screwtape Letters, he talks about how, you know, the man, he was, like, starting, I guess, to, like, doubt and question God and, like, maybe struggling with, like, some sort of depression. And what brought him back to the Lord was, like, taking a walk and, like, appreciating nature and, like, enjoying a good cup of tea. And that out of everything, I don't know why, that out of everything in Screwtape Letters, like, stuck with me the most. It was like, God is in the beautiful things. And that doesn't just mean like Grand Canyon level things. That means like having good food with your friends or just like appreciating like the message that your pastor wrote for that Sunday. You know, like just small things.
A meaningful conversation.
I just love that. And that to me is like the importance of beauty. Like how incredible is it that like when we talk about the beauty of the Lord, it's not just these huge, big, beautiful things that are like, wow, God is so big and beautiful. But it's like the small attention to detail things that are beautiful. And it's like, wow, God cared enough to like allow these like beautiful flowers to grow. Like it's just small things. Like he didn't have to do that. And it's just the recognizing of it, the recognizing of like, if I truly believe that God is sovereign, then like all of these good small things came from him. They weren't just circumstance or like, oh, well, flowers grow because we live on earth. It's like, you know, the Lord ordained these beautiful things because he's beautiful.
Kindness and mercy and love for us because of his great love for us. He has given us this gift. And I don't know, I think that that's something that I'm so convicted of all the time, of just getting wrapped up in my own little life. And you know, I'm someone, something about me, I'm perpetually late to everything. Okay, I'm always in a rush, I'm always running late. All my friends know this about me. I'm working on it. Okay, I'm a work in progress. But I feel like when I'm rushed and distracted, that's when I really miss the beauty that the Lord has for me every day. Like the fact that I, you know, the Lord has provided for me to have an apartment and to be able to wake up every day with books on my shelf that I can pull up and read in bed, and, you know, a coffee machine that I can make my own little latte and have my little coffee every morning and go for a walk in a safe area. And before going to work, where I work at a church where I literally get paid to like read the Bible. Like, I get paid to like serve people and to love. Like, it's just such a gift, and it's so easy to get distracted by just like the craziness of life or like all the things that I have to do or check off my to-do list. And so not only is it helpful for your sanctification, but also like you just become a much more happy person when you're slowing down and seeing the grander vision of the small everyday things that the Lord has gifted to us.
Yeah.
So we're talking about how beauty is a gift from the Lord, but I feel like especially for women, the idea of beauty can be kind of difficult.
Yeah.
Like, there is a whole beauty industry out there that makes billions of dollars every single year capitalizing off of women's insecurities. And so I feel like for women specifically, I feel like the Lord has created us inherently to seek beauty, but also that beauty has been corrupted. And so what are some ways that the world has corrupted beauty?
That's a good question. Let me start by reiterating what you just said. I think humans in general were created with a desire for beauty, mm-hmm. and an appreciation, but biasly, more so than anything, I think women were especially created. We love beauty. You mm-hmm. know, we want to create it. We want to cultivate it. And unfortunately, that leads to the temptation of an unhealthy obsession with physical beauty for ourselves.
Yeah.
And this isn't me saying everyone has an unhealthy obsession yeah. with physical beauty, but I think we all know that, you know, that's an issue. Like, mm-hmm. insecurity and obsession over just looks in general. And I mean, I'll be the first to say, like, I've gone through seasons of, you know, insecurity, and you just hate it, you know? Yeah. Like, you just know, you can hear the truth 1,000 times in those seasons. Like, mm-hmm. oh, it doesn't matter what you look like, or like, the Lord created you perfectly, or whatever it is. And you know, those things are true, but you have to, until you know what true beauty is, yeah. and that, you know, it's not whatever the world has told you it mm-hmm. is, then, like, that's not going to be acceptable. And as I'm saying this, I don't think anything I say right now is going to, like, bring anybody out of a season of insecurity, no. but it's like, you know, the point is that, you know, the Lord, if you believe that the Lord can create anything that's not beautiful, then that's where you start.
Mm-hmm.
If that's something you believe, so it's like something you need to ask yourself. If you truly believe that the Lord can make anything that's not beautiful, then, like, the issue is not about insecurity. The issue is about, what do you believe about God, right? Yeah. And I would encourage you then to go to Genesis 1, which sounds like, wow, I have an insecurity problem. I need to go to Genesis 1. Yeah, I mean, every problem we have, every lie we believe is something that we don't understand about the Lord, right? Like, yeah. that's the root. And this is also just, like, how I work, you know, when it comes to the root issue, like, what lie am I believing about God? Mm-hmm. And that's helpful for me. And so I would just say, you know, when it comes to how has the world corrupted beauty, I would say it's pointed beauty on us, if that makes sense.
That's good.
So instead of, like, you know, for Christians, when we read the Bible, it's like, God is the origin and creator and, like, cultivator of mm-hmm. beauty. But what the world does is it tells us that we are those things, yes. and not that we can't do them, right? Because, like, God created us to be able to create beautiful things and be beautiful. Yeah. But when we believe we are the sole source of, like, beauty, mm-hmm. and that there's a standard of it, that's mm-hmm. when it gets dangerous.
And also that our value is not derived from being part of God's creation, but by being a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think when we try to make ourselves responsible for beauty,
mm-hmm.
that's when the world can really put lies in our head that we're not good enough. If we don't look this way, if we, you know, are not whatever is conventionally attractive at any given right. moment in history, which is also always changing, that's when we can really start believing the lies of the world instead of trying to embrace our identity
yeah.
as daughters of the King.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, it is tricky. I mean, we're women. These are ideas that are forced on us before we're born, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's easy to just unlearn these things, mm-hmm. right? But this is where I think community is so important, because you can tell yourself these things all day long, but you need women alongside you, not to tell you, oh, you're so beautiful. Like, you feel ugly, like, yeah. you're so beautiful.
Yeah.
But to tell you, like, do you want to know how I know you're beautiful? You're beautiful because you are the most kind person I know.
Mm-hmm.
You are so generous. And, like, to me, mm-hmm. that is so compelling yeah. to who God is, yeah. right? Like, also, let's talk about the reality of physical beauty. You have, like, what, 20 years tops of it, like, yeah, out of the your whole life.
It's
like,
so true. And I also think it goes back to the point of, like, beauty is so powerful that if we do not have a right view of it, mm-hmm, then we are still compelled to action. Like, beauty is still a force regardless. Right. It's just whether it's a force pushing us towards God or pushing us towards ourselves.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think that when we're so, when we allow the world to corrupt the idea of beauty and put the emphasis on ourselves, mm-hmm, and we're so self-obsessed, like, that internal force will crush us.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, obviously no one's gonna be saved from their insecurity,
right,
problems from this. Like, that's a deep root. And, like, I think that there is a piece of, like, the world is fallen and we are broken.
Yeah.
And we are not as we should be.
Right.
And I think that that's another idea when it comes to beauty of, like, I think that we recognize the chasm between all of us, whether you're a Christian or not, recognizes the chasm between how the world is and how it ought to be.
Right, yeah. I think those are some of the ways that the world has, you know, corrupted it, and I don't think there's a simple, yeah, solution or right answer, but I think, like we just showed, like, you just have to talk about it,
mm-hmm,
right?
You know? Work through it. And I think the world has corrupted beauty in other ways, too, by making us, again, if we're thinking of beauty as a force, you know, like, making us focus on ourselves or on things that are vain and are fleeting and aren't going to matter. And so I think that kind of at the end of the day, the way that Jesus redeems that is that he has offered us a way and he's offered us access to, like, true beauty. And the more that you grow in your relationship with the Lord and the more that you focus on his beauty, I promise, I feel like this is such, like, an intangible answer and, like, such an intangible, frustrating encouragement, but, like, the more that you see God's beauty, the less you'll care about your own.
Yeah.
The less you'll care about your own. And it's funny because it's, like, the people who care the least about what they look like truly are the most beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, they just have an energy, a confidence, mm-hmm, a joy of the Lord that is compelling to, mm-hmm, other people.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of beauty that we should be pursuing instead, mm-hmm, of getting tied up in, like, what is, you know, popular at any given moment, what is trendy, whatever. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm someone who, I love, you know, makeup and I love skincare and I love all those things. So those things aren't inherently bad, like you said, but
right,
it's all in moderation. And
right,
you have to make sure that it's not sprouting from a place of vanity, but sprouting from a place of delighting in the Lord in, mm-hmm, the simple moments.
Yeah, yeah. That's perfectly said. That, scratch everything that I said earlier, guys.
No,
all of said it better in
all
one sentence.
Whatever.
But, I mean, it is so important. And, you know, we're talking about, how has beauty been corrupted in our world? So how has Christ redeemed beauty for us, right?
Mm.
We just talked about, like, all the negative, like, we're living in between the right now and later of earth and eternity. And so how has Christ redeemed beauty?
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like? What do we mean when we say that?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah. I think it's kind of going back to what we said before about being repulsed by sin,
mm-hmm,
and compelled by beauty. Jesus is the one who died in order that the Holy Spirit could live inside of us so that we can see what is beautiful.
Right.
Number one,
yeah,
like the Lord or Jesus, his death gave us the Holy Spirit to lift our eyes to beautiful things and to reveal to us what is truly beautiful and what is truly ugly. I think number two, Jesus has given us access to the truly beautiful one, mm, God our Father, the creator of all of the heavens, the creator of, like, the most beautiful thing on this earth. If you can, like, close your eyes and think about the most beautiful place you've ever been. For me, it was probably when I was in Italy in the Dolomite Mountains in northern Italy, looking out. It was just insane. Like, I went up this ski lift and I just, like, it felt like this, a scene from The Sound of Music. Like, it was just,
yeah,
stunning. Okay, that is merely a whisper,
mm-hmm,
not even a whisper to the beauty of the Lord,
mm,
and not only of the beauty of, like, the creator who created that beautiful thing, but, like, the beauty that is promised to us when Jesus Christ comes back to fully redeem the earth. And so I think that that's an idea that I'm quite honestly, like, not super confident in or, like, educated in my own ability to articulate ideas around, like, the new heavens and the new earth. But my church has been going through Revelation and thinking about what it's going to look like when Christ comes back to truly and fully and finally redeem our earth and like the beauty that's to come is something that is what we can put our hope in.
Yeah.
Like amidst the ugliness of our world, amidst like the depravity and all the craziness and the injustice of our world and the things that are so discouraging, like as Christians, we have a gift of putting our hope mm-hmm. in that one day justice will be served and that we'll be able to explore the new heavens and the new earth and their fullest beauty, mm-hmm. their fullest incomprehensible beauty. Like, we just like never have a reason to have a fear of missing out on anything on this earth because right. we have so much beauty to come.
Yeah. And I think too, as someone who loves stories, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody who loves reading, loves movies, loves a good story. Something that I am drawn to just because of the way that the Lord created me in my mind and my soul is, you know, the idea of, you know, his story, the story of redemption being the most beautiful, compelling story, like you said earlier. And, you know, some of you have probably heard this before, but just the evidence of that is in media.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, go to a movie theater, pull up Disney Plus, whatever it is. The best stories, the mm-hmm. best movies follow basically the same plot line mm-hmm. of like the story of redemption. You know, like you have this seemingly, actually, you know what? I'm just going to use Lord of the Rings because yeah. that seems a little on the nose, but I feel like it works because he was definitely trying to do this on purpose. But, you know, just, you know, you have the Shire, you have something that's good and like just simple joys being like loved and, you know, embraced.
Freely available.
Yeah. And, you know, that's Eden, right? And then you have like this problem introduced, and then you go on this whole journey, like people dying, people sacrificing themselves, until you get to the point where, you know, you need somebody who's basically willing to die mm-hmm. for the sake of like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, whenever a movie gets to that moment, we are so compelled.
Yeah.
Like we just feel it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then the resolution comes and like whether the person dies or comes back to life or whatever it is, you know, like peace is found again mm-hmm. at the end. And those stories, they can play out in absolutely anything, right? That type of story, books, movies, kids movies, literally anything. The reason we love those type of stories, I mean, it's literally the hero's journey. We're taught it in school, yeah. right? And it's because it's the story we're living. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the story of our reality. Mm-hmm. And it's the most beautiful, compelling story. And even people who don't even know it to be that,
yeah,
they can't help but, like, create and use that story.
Yeah. I mean, not only is that true for stories, but that's true of our society in general. I think that, you know, politicians and any government officials and any sort of, like, idea to advance society as a whole, it's trying to achieve utopia. It's trying to pursue the kingdom that Jesus describes in the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
Of, you know, a land, a society where everyone is treated equally and fairly and everyone is loved and there's justice that rules the land and the poor are taken care of. And it's that vision of the king. But the question is, are we willing to submit our will to, or it's a vision of the kingdom, but the question is, are we willing to submit our own desires to the king?
Right, yeah.
Because you cannot have the kingdom that Jesus describes without being willing to submit your own desires yeah. to the king and yeah. to him. And so, I don't know, I think that's an idea I've been thinking about a lot, too, of a lot of ways the world can corrupt beauty is by trying to paint a vision of society, of the kingdom, but without having to submit to the authority of the king.
Yeah.
Without yeah. having to give up any of your personal freedoms or any of your personal desires, like mm-hmm. just being able to have all of the things of the kingdom, but without wanting to submit to the authority of the king.
Yeah, that's good. And I think maybe one smaller practical example of how Christ can redeem beauty, and maybe we can end on this, is the idea that we can see this in our own lives and our own stories, right? So, you know, you think about our testimonies.
Yeah.
Ugly. They're ugly, right? Yeah. Like, you, I mean, before Christ, you're talking about stories that are hopeless and broken. Mm-hmm. And one of the clearest pictures.
And dead.
Yes, and dead. And one of the clearest pictures of Christ, you know, redeeming corrupted beauty or ugly things is when he saves us and yeah. grace enters and he takes these broken, hard things, these things that are hard to look at, mm-hmm. hard to share, hard to talk about, and he turns them into such a beautiful testament to his grace and who yeah. he is. And I think, you know, of course, there's these huge examples of these things, but, you know, we don't really have to look much further than our own lives, mm-hmm. right? Which is just so incredible that, you know, we can look at our past and feel discouraged, but then now know that our future is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And not just our mm-hmm. future, but we have the possibility of making our present beautiful, yeah. right? Like with the Holy Spirit and with scripture. And that is just so encouraging that, you know, it's not just that beauty, like you said at the beginning, is some abstract thing, but mm-hmm. it's this force. The Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
is a beautifier mm-hmm. in our own lives and is turning our so stories good. Into something so beautiful, this huge tapestry that will one day just be collective all together into the most beautiful story mm-hmm. that we'll just live in for eternity.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's a great place to end. I think the redemption arc of Jesus, the redemption arc in our own stories, like that is what beauty is. Yeah. Everyone loves a redemption arc. Everyone loves
they do.
Underdog. Everyone loves someone, a villain turned good. Yeah. Like everyone loves the story of redemption mm-hmm. because that is what we are created to pursue. And that's what the Lord opened the door for us
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
To be a good. Part of.
Great.
Awesome.
Well, thank you guys for
hope you guys had fun. We had
joining
fun.
Us. Yeah.
Kind of episode I feel two. Like we covered some abstract ideas, some yeah. practical things, kind of a little bit all over the place, but I had a lot of fun talking
yeah.
about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can expect an episode every few weeks. So, we will be back next time
at
continuing
some point.
Our conversation on beauty.
Yeah. I think maybe next time we'll talk about why humanity is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doctrine Great. Of Humanity. Love it.
All right. We'll see you Great. Next time.
See you next time. Bye. Thanks for joining us for that conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Instagram or head over to our website at thescripturesociety.com.